Well, good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Open your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's get our outlines out, get prepared for this morning's message and for the Word of God to speak to our hearts. And I just want to encourage you as we look into the Word of God, wherever you're at today, whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your heart, all different kind of things. We are humans, we are people, we have all these kind of thoughts in our heart and mind, and we've been having a communion and God guiding and leading us to think about Him and praise time and all of that. You know, God wants to speak to us, each and every one of us, individually where we are at today. We're going to be looking at part two of a message entitled, The Nature of Being an Ambassador for Christ, and I'm going to seek your guys' help with that today, as we're going to be looking at, or what we have been doing, is looking at five perspectives of what it's like to represent the Lord as His ambassadors in this life. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Put that on your heart and mind. What would be five perspectives of that? What is it like to represent Christ in this world? What's the nature of it? Now, Paul has already established, we heard it a little bit, in chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Listen to this, that you are an ambassador of Christ. If you're saved, if you're sanctified, if God has saved you and come into your life and you've believed in Christ, you are an ambassador of Christ. Whether you live it or not is the issue. That's the issue that God is talking to us about. That's what God is speaking to us in our heart about. That's what Paul is writing to the Corinthians about, is about encouraging each of us to live who we are in Christ and what God has done. But he's already established that you're an ambassador for Christ. You're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. That's who you are. Verse 17, he said, since God saved you in your salvation, the old way of life is gone. The old way of the lost, of the people that are lost, is gone. You're not to live that way any longer. That's what he said. You're a new creature. The old way has come, or the new way has come. Behold, it has come and continues to affect how we live, what we think, and what we live for. That's what the Word of God is teaching us. The new life has come. You have been reconciled back to God, is what Paul wrote. You've had a restored relationship with God. You used to be separated from Him. Now you're restored with Him. Your life now, this is what we were learning, is to be lived in a relationship to the Almighty God every day. It's an incredible privilege, honor, but that's what it is. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. God gave it to us. The ministry of reconciling, of being reconciled back to God and sharing what it looks like and how do you get reconciled back to God. And he said this. He said, God placed in you the reality of relationship with God, of being reconciled. He placed it right in you. It's in you. It's to exude out of your pores, in a sense. Paul's already established all of this, that God is at work in you, growing you, maturing you, changing you so you can represent the Lord. God is at work through you, making an appeal to people around you. This is what God's Word says, that God is at work doing in your life, making an appeal to those people around you. Be reconciled back to God. So in verse 20, Paul says, so then, concluding statement in verse 20, you are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we've been going through and learned. You are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. And now what Paul does in chapter 6, 1 through 13, he says, this is what it looks like. I like that. We should all like that. He says, this is how it is. This is how it flows. This is the nature of it. Here's five perspectives of it. That's what Paul is doing. He tells us what it's like. Now, before we look at them, I want to talk to you a little bit. I encouraged you a little bit there, and I talked to you a little bit. But you know what? If I came up to you and I ask you, hey, can you give me five things what it's like to be an ambassador for Christ? If I came up to you and said that, I'm going to steal this chair right here because I'm going to kind of kick back here for a moment. Because I want you guys to help me. Hey, we're Christians. We're ambassadors for Christ. We've been saved. God's got a new life in us. We've been new creatures. We got salvation. We're following the Word of God. We have the truth of God's Word. God is working in our life. God is working in you and through you. You're a Christian believer. So what's it like? Tell me, what's it like? What's it like to be an ambassador for Christ? What's it like to represent the Lord in this world? What's it like? Be set apart. So it's like you're set apart. You're not like the world. That's a good one, right? And that's a battle, right? I mean, even though he said the old things are gone and the new has come, I'm still trying to get the old things not to be how I live. Good. It's be set apart. That would be a good perspective. Is that me? That's me. That's me. I'm probably sitting on the cord. That's probably what it is. We're all right, Richard. I'll quit sitting on the thing. There's a responsibility, right? There's an honor and a privilege, a responsibility that we have to honor the Lord or represent Him. That would be a perspective. Good. What else, you guys? Humbling? Is that what I heard, Roberto? It's humbling, right? Humbling in the sense is that you get to represent Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross, the one that gave his life. You get to represent him in this life. Kind of humbling, right? Right? It's bigger than representing your guys' marriage, isn't it? Right? It's huge. It's a privilege. We looked at that a little bit last week, but yeah, humbling. What else, you guys? What's it like to live for the Lord in this life? What are some perspectives? What are five things you would say it's like? It's hopeful, right? It exudes hope, right? I mean, it's the answer to everything, isn't it? You get to live the answer to everything. The world has no hope, right? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That's the honor, the privilege that you get to have today, right? It's important, right? That's the perspective. What's another one?
To be forgiving.
Forgiving. Oh, okay. Thank you. Why'd you have to say that one? Right?
Have you met me?
I forgive you, Diana. No, but it's forgiving, right? So you could add to that. You're going to have to persevere, aren't you? Because we're not forgiving a lot of times. We're not humble a lot of times. We're not hopeful a lot of times. We're not set apart a lot of times. We're battling those. And you're going to, so a good way to look at perspective would be, we're going to have to be persevering in these kind of things because they're not like the normal way I live, right? I mean, they're not the natural thing. It's not about, God didn't come and call me an ambassador of Christ and say, oh, and just live the way you live. He said, you're going to have to fight for this, right? This isn't easy. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, 1 through 8, Paul says this. This is such an important aspect. He says, whether you're a soldier in the Lord, whether you're an athlete competing to live for the Lord, competing to do the right thing, whether you're a farmer waiting for the crop to come forth and waiting for what's going to happen in this life and waiting for the Lord to work in your life, you have to remember Jesus Christ and him risen from the dead. I mean, it's what it is. There's a perseverance. How about anybody else? God's fellow workers. We're working together with God, right? We work together with each other, but that we looked at that somewhat last week. What a privilege. Today, in my life, through the day, I'm a worker with God. And the things that he's doing in this life, redemption. That's the story of the Bible, redemption. You are, I am. If you're a Christian, you are. Now, like I said, you can do it or not. You can say, oh, well, I got so many other things to do. I'm not going to be the ambassador God wants me to be, and I'm struggling to be the ambassador. And all of us do that, and all of us struggle in that. But today, as we would listen to the Word of God, today, as we would hear what God would have to say, today, just look in your own heart and let God speak to your heart and say, what am I actually doing here? Just let that flow in your heart. Because God's not mad at us. God's just wanting to help us to work together with him. And we all have our issues and we all have our struggles. But these five perspectives are wonderful. We looked at two last week and we'll kind of briefly touch on those. But thanks for helping me with that. And then we'll look at some other ones here, the last three. And they're just, it's just reality, you guys. It's just the Word of God in reality telling us what this is about. So if you look at your text with me, chapter 6, 1 through 13, listen to Paul speak to the church about what it looks like. What's the nature of being this ambassador? Listen to what he has to say. Chapter 6, 1 through 13, and Paul writes to them, it says this, and working together with him, that's God, hey, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says at the acceptable time, I listened to you, God says this, and God says on the day of salvation, I helped you. And then God says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to be heard. Now is the time of day of salvation. So basically what Paul is saying, hey, he's encouraging us. Let's not receive the grace of God in vain. God heard you. God helped you. Let's hear God. Let's help God. That's going to be the nature of what we're going to be doing. And so Paul's just writing that, urging them. Look at verse 3. Giving no cause for offense. Listen to what he says. In anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance and affliction and hardships and distresses and beatings and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger. That sounded like perseverance, didn't it, to you? And to persevere in purity and knowledge and patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit and genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness on the right hand and the left. Now, he says a lot here. But by glory and dishonor, and by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. In verse 11, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. That's love. Verse 12, you are not restrained by us, but you are restrained by your own affections, self-focus, self-love. Now, in like exchange, I speak to you as children. Open your heart to us. I mean, he's just talking about the nature of being an ambassador for Christ. He's just talking to us about this life. It's going to beat these five perspectives that we've been looking at. It's a privilege to work with the Lord. The perspective here also is going to involve passionately pleading with the lost. You're going to have to open your mouth, say some things, and we're going to have to passionately plead with each other that, hey, we're supposed to live for the Lord. We have to say that to each other. It has to be part of what we're doing. We'll look at that. And it takes perseverance. It takes a lot of perseverance, a lot of endurance. You got to keep going on with the Lord and believing and trusting in Him. And there's a lot of paradoxes. That's the fourth perspective, how people respond, how it goes, how God works. And the last one, it's going to involve proven love. You're going to have to, in a way, live this life proving the love of Christ, proving the love of God, proving that you love each other, proving that you're open to God's love. It's going to be out of your life. This is the ambassador that we've been called to, the representative that we've been called to. This is the nature of it all, and we all fall short. But in our hearts today, let's just ask the Lord in these perspectives, is this me? Is this what you're doing in my life? Is this what you're calling me to? Is this what you're asking me? I can get the details of this, but is this my heart? Is this where I'm at? Because Paul says right in the beginning, I urge you, do not throw away the grace that's been poured upon you. That's basically how that says. Because Christian, believer in Christ, you can waste the grace by not focusing on Christ and Him and His truth and His way and His love and what He's wanted to do and working together with God. We can just walk in a manner that doesn't have any effect in this life. It can be proved in vain. So number one perspective, we looked at it last week. It's in verse 1. Look at it with me. Look what he said. This is so encouraging. This should overwhelm your heart each day, and it has each day in my life as I've been really focusing on this, and I think it's going to stay with me each and every day. The number one perspective in this being an ambassador for Christ, I'm privileged. Verse 1, and working together with him. Just circle that, underline that. You know, every day you work together with God if you're a believer in Christ. All of your life, all that you do, all that you're in, everything going on, everything that's happening, everything that surrounds it, everything, God is involved in it all, the sovereign hand of God and God's providence. These are deep theological things, but in the providence of God, working, orchestrating the things that are happening in this life, working together with Him, that's what you are doing, that's what I'm doing. We are God's fellow workers, 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are working together with God as an ambassador. He says, God's word says, you are called, gifted, equipped, empowered, and placed strategically to work with God to represent the Lord Jesus Christ today. Wow, that's just such an incredible privilege, and we covered that last week in detail. But what we want to do is we want to grasp the level of dignity of that. We want to grasp the level of honor of that, the level of privilege, and we looked at that all last week. Every day, every moment, I work together with God. Second perspective that we looked at last week is the nature of being an ambassador is that it involves passionate pleading. Look at verse 1 and 2. That's what he says. We urge you not to receive this grace of God in vain, for he says, I, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, today is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day for God to hear people. Today is the day for people to be saved. And for that to happen, we're going to have to open our mouths, guys. We're going to have to, that's what it's going to be a part of. It's a part of passionate pleading with others about, hey, you need Christ. The answer to all of this is Christ. We're Christians, believers, and representatives of Christ, His ambassadors in this world. Ambassadors say what God wants us to say. They passionately plead with those that need the Lord. Caringly, passionately covers the caring and lovingly way and all those. But we're to be passionately pleading. That's what Paul is saying to us in here with people. And then we're to be passionately pleading with each other. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 20 of chapter 5. Look what he says. It says this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled with God. The word begged is the same word as in verse 1 of chapter 6 of urge. It can be plead. And in context, what he's doing is he's telling us, you know, we got to urge each other that we need to represent the Lord in this life. How come we get so hurt when a fellow believer in Christ comes up to you and say, you know what, that doesn't really represent the Lord? How come we get so when the Word of God says that's what an ambassador does? Well, who are you to say, you know, you don't know. No, you know, we're all supposed to represent Christ here. Now, we're not being judgmental. We're not coming on nitpicking and saying, you know, chewing gum at church. Hey, is that representing the Lord? I mean, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about each and all of our ones in a close, intimate life, knowing that God is in our life. We're working together, and that God wants us to come alongside each other and encourage each other to say, God has given us incredible grace for us to represent the Lord. How is that happening with this in our life? That's what he's talking about. We there, Richard? We good? There we go. Yeah, so it's going to take perseverance for us to do what God wants us to do, to walk in the privilege that it is, to grasp the level of the privilege that it is, to just be enamored with that, to be encouraged in what God is doing, to proclaim passionately that Christ is the answer to life, and to encourage each other to do so. It's going to take perseverance. Look at 3 through 7. That's what Paul works to next. Look what he says. He says, giving no cause for an offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. Verse 4, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance. That's where we get perseverance. Now listen to what else it's in. In affliction, in hardship, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Well, I'm so glad that my perseverance, my endurance in being a servant of God and not discrediting the ministry doesn't include that I'm in prison. It doesn't include that I'm have no food to eat. It doesn't include beatings, but they sure did for Paul. And he said, whatever the circumstance. He said, whatever the circumstance, it's going to take perseverance for you to not to do anything that would discredit the ministry, and that you'd have to do everything to commend yourselves as a servant of God. You're going to have to endure. You're going to need much endurance. Perseverance is just the nature of representing Christ. Now, that might be news to some of us. Some of us might say, oh, I thought I came to Christ, and I think I came to the Lord, and God was going to work in my life, and he does, and do a lot of things in our life, and he does. But I thought he was going to change some things so the perseverings would have to go away. Well, actually, they come more. They actually do. They come more. He changes a lot of things, and he works in our life a lot of ways. But we recognize just how much we weren't persevering in some things or enduring in some things to live for him. You know, it's very challenging. Through all kinds of circumstances, difficulties, challenges, God is going to work in your life for you to persevere. Now listen to that for a moment, okay? Listen to that. Let that sink into your heart. God is going to work for me to persevere. James said it in James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 and following, that these difficulties, these challenges, these trials that you have in your life, whatever they might be, they come testing your faith. What's your faith in? What are you believing in? What are you trusting in? Who are you following? They come testing your faith. Well, I was kind of following Ken. I was kind of following self-credit. Whatever that was, God tests your faith, see what you're following. And what God is wanting to do in them, he's working in them to produce endurance. This is what James says, perseverance in your life. That you will persevere in believing and trusting and following him. That means there might be some time that you have to walk in through some of these difficult challenges. And then as you persevere and as you endure, this is what God said. God is maturing you, growing you. This is God's completing work in you. That's what James says. It says it in Romans 5:3. So this is how God is completing his work in us. So you're going to have to persevere for God's completing work to happen in your life. That's the dynamic, the nature of being a representative of Christ. That's what it is. That's just the nature of it, perseverance. Hebrews 10:36 says you'll have need of endurance to do the will of God. You're going to have need of endurance. You're going to have to persevere through some things in your life. Well, some of us might just already say right now, well, you know, this is why it's hard to be an ambassador of Christ. I don't want to endure. I don't want to persevere. I want what I want. Well, that's why Paul wrote this. That's why God's word addresses it. Because he knows our heart. He knows our mind. He's addressing it. Then you're not overwhelmed with the privilege that today the Almighty God wants to work in your life to do a work of redemption, of reconciliation, of transformation in your life. The Almighty God that saved you and rescued you, he wants you to work together with him today. And you're not overwhelmed with the privilege. You don't, the level of privilege. Just like I said last week, you know, Mike Trout came and said, hey, can you help me with batting practice? We don't be overwhelmed with the privilege. Oh, we can hit Mike Trout. God said today in your life, I want you to work together with me, intimately, passionately, wanting to work together in your life. Well, that just, in a sense, overwhelms us each and every day. In the midst of everything I go going on, yeah, in the midst of it all. Look at verse 3 again. On this perseverance, listen to what he says. He says this, giving no cause for an offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves to service of God in much endurance. You will have to persevere to protect the ministry of representing the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be a stumbling block to somebody coming to salvation in Christ? Raise your hand on that one. Well, you're going to have to persevere, because guess what? All of us are stumbling blocks unless we persevere in our heart and mind about how we live our life. You're a hindrance to what people seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what you do in the day that you walk and you stand. You're right here. God is saying you are a representative of Jesus Christ in this life. That's what I made you in this ambassador. We all fall short. God is working in all of our life. But when we stand here and we say, well, yeah, but I don't, you know. You're going to have to persevere in some things for you to represent Christ. That's incredible. Hey, I don't want to be a stumbling block to each of you representing the Lord. Now, I know that I am sometimes, but I repent and I turn and I ask forgiveness and I'm with in an intimate relationship with God and he shows me and I turn from that and I change from that and I'm going this way because I'm never going to arrive, either are you, but God is going to work in my life and I'm going to become more of that and that's what's going to go on and happen in my life. But I'm going to have to persevere to protect the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of representing Christ. Listen to, we all know this passage. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33. You know, we know this one. Paul says this, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, we want to do all things that would glorify God. We wouldn't want to do all things to the glory of God. But listen to what he says on how you have to persevere, giving no offense either to Jew or Greeks. So don't give an offense to any culture in the sense of who they are as people. And then he says this, or don't give any offense to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that the many may be saved. Listen, it takes perseverance. It takes a lot of perseverance. You have to decide, I'm going to persevere in some things. I have to decide. You have to decide. This is just the real life in Christ. This is 101, guys. And this is whether in our heart or mind, whether we embrace this or not. This is what it is. He's just talking simply about it. And he also says you're going to have to persevere in personal virtue. Look at verse 6 of chapter 6. Look at what Paul wrote. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. Listen to what he says. You're going to have to need much endurance, persevere in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. If you're going to be declaring yourself, commending yourself as servants of God, as representatives of Christ Almighty, of Christ, his ambassadors, and we are, you're going to have to persevere in personal virtue. You're going to have to live in purity. Well, that takes perseverance. Raise your hand if you're living in purity all day long, every day. Raise your hand if you're seeking to persevere in purity all day long. Well, that's what the Christian life's about, isn't it? That's what it's about. And then he said this. If you're going to live, you're going to live in knowledge. That takes perseverance. You're going to know the Lord. You're going to have to know his word. You have to know what God is asking of us. Know him and relational. And then it says to live in patience. Well, all of us would say, yeah, that takes perseverance. And then live in kindness. That takes perseverance to live in kindness. And genuine love, to really, truly genuine love people from the heart, to care about their life. You're going to have to persevere. And you see what God is doing through his word? Let me help you with this. You see what God is doing in his word? Look at God focus us on what life's about. Look at God shape our eyes. Look at him, how he'll get our eyes up upon the things above and on him. Look at him work in our life to show us that we're ambassadors of Christ, privileged to work with God, passionate pleading the word of God, the truth of God, the people that are lost, encouraging each other to live for the Lord, and then focusing us on that if we're going to commend ourselves as servants of God, if we are going to protect, not being offensive to Christ's ministry, we're going to focus in on our hearts that we're going to have to deal with how we live our life. Isn't that helpful? I need it tremendously for God to help me focus. He's not dogging us saying, oh, well, you got to live a perfect life. He's focusing on us and we need to be growing and persevering in kindness. And when you persevere in kindness, God has this perfect work in you and bringing the completion in your work, and you become more of a kind person and you become more of a representative of Christ. We need to connect this in our heart and mind. We need to connect everything that we've been learning from chapter 3 all the way through chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians for us to see how God is speaking to our lives on that he is wanting to guide and lead us in this life to work together with him for what God is doing for us to represent Jesus Christ in this world, which is what God is doing all things through. Well, that helps me. It isn't about how bad I was or how self-focused I was, or it wasn't about how ungrateful I am. God will show those things to me, but it's given me something to look at where God is working in our life and where he's headed. And to get it on a new covenant of relationship with God off the old covenant of trying to keep the rules or law. This is God walking together with us in our life in a new covenant relationship. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul said it real simply. He said, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to have to persevere to do that. It's going to take perseverance. That's not going to just happen. I just don't wake up in the morning and the words out of my mouth, the conduct in my mouth, the love in my heart, the faith in believing in him, and the purity in my life is not an example of the Lord Jesus Christ unless I persevere and battle with my flesh, persevere in his truth. That's just the nature of being an ambassador for Christ. And I want you to take your bulletin, and I want you to write on there, how are you doing in that? I just want you to write that right there. How are you doing in that? Answer that question. Be real with God. How are you doing with that? That's okay. That's good. That's body of Christ. That's church. That's word of God exhorting us on what we're to be living for. And, you know, nobody's going to write 100%. Because it's between you and God and God's relationship with you, and he's wanting to urge you on and spur you on and use you for his kingdom work. That's what it's about. It's not complicated. It's just tremendously hard, isn't it? Give me an amen there. Come on, make me feel better. It's not complicated. It's just hard. And the strength comes from him, an intimate relationship with him. I don't have the strength to do this. I don't have the strength to endure. I can't get away from that. I can endure and persevere in the challenges of life and protecting the ministry and personal virtue by only his power. Well, look at verse 7. That's what he says. We're going to have to persevere. Look at verse 7. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of the righteousness for the right and the left hand. Listen, if you're going to persevere in the power of God, you've got to be in the word of truth. You got to be in the Word of God. God has to be speaking to your life about how he's going to guide you, what he's going to lead you, what it's about, what it means, all that. You got to be in the Word of truth. You got to be seeing the Word of God. You got to be listening to it, understanding it, faithful, being persevering. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm just going to follow God's Word. I mean, I can never forget the first time when I came to the Lord. I was 33 and I came to faith in Christ. And, you know, Krista and I weren't doing real well when I came to, but she was faithful and praying for me and standing for the Lord. And I came to faith in Christ, and we're a few months in, 4 or 5 months in, and, you know, I got all these things in my life, and, you know, she just makes a statement, well, I'm just going to have faith in God because I see God working in your life, and he'll deal with you. And he's dealt with some of me, right? Still praying for God to deal with me. But that's the way it is, you guys. That's the way it is. If you want the power of God to work in your life and do these kind of things, you got to be faithful, persevering in where the power comes from. That's relational with God. This intimacy. You have to persevere in the word of God, in the word of truth, in the power of God. You persevere in that, whatever the challenge, the difficulty, the direction of God that he has in your life, that he calls for in your life. You will have to persevere in following the truth, committed to living the truth. If you're not committed to living the truth, if you're not committed to the truth of God, there's no power in your life to deal with anything in your life. You're going to represent somebody that doesn't display salvation. And God didn't call you to that. But we do it. I'm not going to, you know. That's why we have to be overwhelmed with the privilege. You know, our faith rests in the power of God and his truth, not in man's wisdom. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:5. And I love this. In my left hand and my right hand, in my hands, I hold the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the truth of God, as weapons of what is right, what is righteousness, found through faith in Jesus Christ. And I hold those here in the truth of Christ. God gave them to me, and I hold them here, and I can use them to say, no, Ken, don't go that way. This is God's truth. Most of the time, the weapon is against my own head. Amen? It's most of the time, that's what the weapon's used for. The enemy is, yes, he's producing all of this untruth. He's producing what the world is about. He's telling you on Facebook and on social media that this is what it's all about. Yeah, we have the truth. That's a weapon against this. But the weapon is right here to help me. That's an absolute truth. No, wait, God says this, and by the Spirit of God, he's working in my life, and he's showing me this. And I can use this weapon to fight off my own flesh and my own self-gratification and my own selfishness. To not make this life about, I'm here to represent Ken Rollins. And God needs to come down and make a good representative of me. Because that's mean he's God. Well, I got to beat my head and get that one out. How about you? Because that's not what it's about. I'm here to represent Christ. It's really good. I need to move along, though. Because I'm not preaching next week. Pastor Tom's preaching on Mother's Day, and so I got to finish the message. Fourth perspective to the nature of being an ambassador. Look at it with me through 8 through 10. It's paradox. It's in your outline. Paradoxes. Listen, the paradoxes are incredible. It doesn't come out the way you think it would come out. It doesn't work the way you think it would work. Listen to the paradoxes. Paul says this, by glory and dishonor, by evil report, by good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Let me just deal with the bottom two real quick. Here's the way in the economy of God as ambassador of Christ, which you can have absolutely nothing in this world, be dead poor, and God can work in your life to make people rich beyond their imagination with the salvation of God, and God says, you possess it all anyway. do that in your heart and mind. It really isn't theirs. It isn't really somebody else's. You have it all in Jesus Christ. And the end of all of this, you're not going to worry about what you have. Well, isn't that a paradox in your heart? Don't we all say, well, you know, just a little more money, we'd be a little more happier? God says, well, you know what? You can be dirt poor in this world, and you can make people rich in this life. And you can, in your heart and life, know that you possess all things. The world that has everything doesn't really possess nothing. You have to possess Christ, and God can work that in your life to where, well, that's an absolute paradox. How about sorrowful and rejoicing? On one hand, you can be broken over the things going on in this world, things happening in people's lives, things that are happening with the family members, sorrowful, losing love, all the things, but in the other part of your heart, be rejoicing because you know that God is true and faithful and working through all things for the good of those who love God. That's a paradox, right? Right? And then you can share Christ and be a good testimony of Christ and love and care and be kind at work, and some people just say, ooh, man, they just dishonor you. They don't like you. And then some of them just say, wow, you're just a great guy. And then some people go to the boss and give a bad report. Man, you are just, I mean, slander. You work here and you're a worthless nobody and you're a Christian living with the Lord, loving God and being kind and gentle. And the bad report comes. And your boss comes and said, man, you know, this guy that you're working with, said, man, he just says, you're like, woo. Hey, it's a bad report. That's what happens when you represent Christ. See, what we have in our heart, what we struggle in our heart, I want to live in such a way where it's always a glory and a good report, and there is no punishment, and I live, and I possess all things. The paradox is, all the other side of that is going to come from you living as a testimony of Christ. That's the paradox. That's the short version of what I was going to share with you there, but it's just amazing how it goes. We can't live so that the outcome fits only one side of the paradox. That's what I want you to tell you. Well, I was living for the Lord. I'm doing the right thing. You know, I don't understand, God, why they haven't given these all these evil reports and people dishonor me. He's going to say, read 2 Corinthians 6, 8 through 10. As an ambassador of Christ, there's going to be paradoxes. It isn't about that. It isn't about somebody not giving you a bad report. It's not about somebody dishonoring you. It's not about that. As you represent Christ, those things are going to be in this world. That's what he's talking about. Yeah, I'm just glad some of the ones in there are as punished yet not put to death. You know, Paul's writing in his life there. You know, think about him. Stones are hitting him in the head. They're beating him with things, and he's not dying. He's going, man, this is a paradox. Because that kills everybody else. That's why he wrote that. But that might happen in our life someday. And you're going to stand there and say, man, you wrote about the paradoxes. I shouldn't be here at all. But I'm representing you, and you want me here to represent you. Moving along here. The response is going to be all over the place. The last perspective. And this is such an important one. I think the first one and the middle one and the last one are all the important ones, but they're all important, but I couldn't get beyond. This is so important. The first one is being privileged to work with God. This one, the nature of representing the Lord, is proven love. Look at verse 13, or 11 through 13. And I'll just say it this way as before we read it. You know, I can say I love you, Crystal, all I can say. But do I really love her if I do nothing that proves it? Help me, church. Oh, come on, guys. Need a big no there. She wants to hear a big no. Because really, that's what it's about. It's about proven love. You know, we can say we love the world. We can say we love God. We can say we love the lost. We can say we love each other. But you know what? It's good to say we love each other, to sincerely, deeply say, yeah, I love you. You know, I care about you, and that kind of thing. But representatives of Christ, you know, I'm just so glad Christ didn't say I love you and then did nothing. As representatives of Christ, it's about what we actually do in our life. It's about actually how we live and what we live for and how we give of ourselves to each other. You know, when Jesus said, hey, you know, they'll know you by your love for one another, that wasn't like, woo, I love you. That wasn't what he was talking about. Because Jesus got down and put on the towel and he reached down and he washed the disciples' feet. And the illustration is that is he already cleansed them from sin, but in this world that they were going to have sin in their life and that somebody was going to need to come along and help them with them dirty feet and the sin. And so, and it's going to be a brother and sister in Christ, and they're going to have to come and pick up that dirt and that sin, and we're going to help wash each other's feet with the sin that's there. And if you can stick your feet in my hands and say, Ken, help me with the sin in my life, and I can humble myself and give of myself and say, let me help you with the sin in your life, the world will go, wow, that's love. That's what it does. See, it's a proven love. And that's what Paul ends here with, ambassadors for Christ. And that's what God is doing in all of our lives. Listen to what he says. Verse 11, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you're restrained by your own affections. Now in like exchange, I speak to you as children, open wide to us also. Did you hear what he said? This is so good what he said. It's so important for us to understand this. You heard Paul. He says, proven love in his words. He said, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. That's what he's saying. We didn't manipulate you with our words. We didn't exaggerate with your words. We didn't speak falsely or give false hope. No, like it says in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. We want to speak the truth in love, hold out the truth in love to one another. So we all grow up into the aspects of Christ. So we all become working together, and God is using us all for all of us to be built up in love. So the words are loving and kind, and they're generous, and they're caring. We just don't come and say, hey, you know, that kind of thing. But we don't lie. Can I put it any other way than that? We just kind of be honest with each other. We're not trying to manipulate. A pastor can never try to manipulate the body of Christ, the church, to try to like me. Because it isn't about that. It's about loving him, and this is what he has to say to us. And that's so important. We got to just, it's proven love in our words that we speak honestly, truthfully, not falsely. I like what Job said. My words are from the uprightness of heart, and my lips speak knowledge sincerely. Hey, I need to be able to say, and we need to be able to say to each other, you know, that just doesn't go anywhere good with God, because I love you. And then my heart is open wide to you, and I'll lay my life down to help you with that kind of thinking or that kind of life where it's going. I'll give my life for you in that. That's what he's saying. I don't want you to go that way. My heart is open wide to you. Proven love. Think about the unsaved in this world that have no hope and the people that don't know Christ. If we just spoke to them in a caring and loving manner, the truth, if you don't believe in Christ, it's eternal damnation. Now, however caringly and lovingly you spend your time and talk with people, you know, the kind of thinking where you think, all roads lead to God. I understand that. I care about you. But let me tell you, Christ came to reconcile your relationship back to him. And it's about believing and trusting in him. And when that happens, all of this stuff that's got us confused, God starts working out. We have to say those things. And then, you know what? If I need to, whatever God would have me do as an open heart to you, for you to see the love of God for you, I want to open it wide. Because God has made me a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And I'm privileged to work together with him. And I'm going to have to persevere. But I'm going to have to passionately proclaim. And the results are going to be all over the map. But it's going to take proven love. Now, isn't that really simple? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the reality of our life and in the life that we're living? Isn't that what we're battling through and what we're struggling with and what, and all the, isn't this Paul being, God being right on with his word, speaking to our heart about our lives? That's the nature of being an ambassador for Christ. Because look at the end of the verse. Because our heart is open wide and we're speaking truthfully and honestly for you. Now in like exchange, what Paul is saying, so it comes back reciprocal. I speak to you as children. Just open wide to us. open wide to the truth of God. Open wide to the reality of God. Open wide to what God says in His Word. Open wide your heart to what God wants to do in your life and what He's doing in your life and how, it, whether it's salvation or sanctification. And what hinders that? It's in the verse. My own affections. Well, shoot, that's absolutely true. That's what hinders it. It's not the world. It's not the enemy. It's me. It's my own heart and what its affections are for, and they're for me. And they hinder me opening my heart wide to God and His affections for me and mine for Him. What an incredible, encouraging passage for Paul to write, to talk to us about the nature and the character of the life we live. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning and just Your encouraging word to us. And just overwhelm us with the incredible privilege of who we are in Christ. And, you know, we took communion and remember the Lord and all that He did. And He went to the cross to rescue us, to save us, to pay the penalty of our sin, to restore our relationship with You. And then, you know, then after that, it's like, and then we become the church, the body of Christ, Your people here in this life to represent the Lord. In this dispensation, the church age, this is when this happens, that we get to live this way and represent You this way. Really, only for a short period of time for each one of us, with the eternal promises of eternal life and the promises of heaven and all the inheritance and all that You're going that awaits us with all of those, and the promises that, lo and behold, You're with us always. You never leave us. You're always with us. I just thank You, Lord, for how much You persevere for me in my heart and my mind and in my life. I thank You for the family of God that we belong to. I thank You for each and every heart here today and for how You're at work in them. I thank You for the hope that we have each and every day, the joy we have, the peace we have, the goodness of You in our life. We praise You and thank You in the name of Christ today. Amen. We're dismissed for today.